Are you interested in the paranormal and the supernatural? My name is Daniel, and I am the host of Chilling True Tales. I've realized that we all share our reality with beings we don't understand, and sometimes it's hard to tell what's real and what isn't. That shadow that's standing in the corner watching you, that voice you hear call your name, that strange light in the sky that disappears when you point it out, are they actually there? I have been interested in the paranormal since I was a child, having had my own fair share of experiences. And other people have shared their first-hand experiences with me over the years as well, maybe looking for answers. I started SOS Paranormal to record, investigate, and share this area of interest so that all of you can experience this too. So please join me at Chilling True Tales for real experiences from real people. Now, are you ready?
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. I'm Braden. This is your call-in story with your weird, crazy, amazing stories of paranormal, UFO, Bigfoot encounters, and everything in between. I'm just your host. Before we open the lines and start accepting calls, I got to give a huge shout out to this week's sponsors. These people help the show keep the lights on. Keep the lines open. We've got Bandito, Chango, Alan, Hillbilly, Shadowersy, and Lane. Thank you so much for supporting Cosmic Channels. And if you're listening to this and you want to support Cosmic Channels, really easy. You can go to paypal.me/cosmicchannels and donate to keep the lights on. Or if you want to buy yourself a little merch and help the show, crowdmade.com/collection/cosmicchannels. Buy yourself a shirt. But the lines are open every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can call 1-833-703-0424. That's 1-833-703-0424. And that's toll-free. Cosmic Channels flips the bill on that. So don't worry if you're like, I don't want my cell bill going up, because it won't. But pre-show, the lines have been blowing up. We already have a caller on the line. We've got Lane from South Carolina. How's it going tonight?
It's going good, man. How are you doing?
Man, not too bad. It's nice. A little bit of a rush to get Cosmic Channels off the ground tonight. I didn't get home until 5:45, but I think I have, you know, everything down to a science now. So I think I'm getting better and better every week. What do you got for us tonight?
I have something real quick, and then I have a story. I think it was a couple weeks ago, you had a caller that described like the predator, like camouflage effect outside her window.
Yeah, that was in Victoria, BC. That happened.
Yeah. Well, that's actually like a very common phenomenon, and I forget who coined it, but it's called the Glimmer Man. Like a bunch of different people have seen like the predator glimmer camouflage in different areas. You know, like, what? I think there was one in
now that you say
Washington
that,
or
now you say that, I do remember that, like, Glimmer Man. I that does ring a bell. I didn't know a lot in it of it, but yeah. So what do you know about it?
Not much. I've heard a bunch of different theories on what it is and all that, and like I've watched Monsters Among Us or listened to it.
Yeah.
So that's where I learned it from.
Derek is a good friend of the show.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So a lot of people think it's like government technology they're testing out in the field, and the people who see it aren't supposed to see it.
I thought, you know what? We talked about Glimmer Man and the use of this technology on the Elisa Lam case on my other show, Alien Theorists Theorizing. We talked about that was one of the theories put forth, was there was someone there invisible that she could see and was interacting with that the security cameras did not pick up.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's very cool and interesting to just hear those stories. And I heard her talk about that. And I was like, oh my God, that's the Glimmer Man.
Now, just, you mentioned Washington. Are you talking like Washington, D.C. side or Washington?
The state.
It's kind of interesting that it's seen there too, because originally there was a, when we did the Elisa Lam case, and it's been so long and I don't quite remember it all, but there wasn't actually a Canadian company based out of the West Coast, if I remember correctly, that was like that's what they were working on, is this like basically active camo technology. So now it's kind of interesting that we kind of have these sightings and these issues in the Pacific Northwest, where this technology is being, you know, built or tested.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know what they're going to use it for, hopefully for good, but who knows.
Yeah. And you said you had a story as well.
Yes.
Let's get to it.
So back in October, it was actually Friday the 13th of this past October.
Yeah.
Which I find it weird. But anyways, so I had a meeting at work, and the thing about me is I can't drive quite yet.
Yeah.
So my mom picked me up from work, and we pulled out of my work, got on to the highway. And like not even 2 minutes after pulling onto the highway, two black like figures run across the road. And it was at first where my mom slowed down and was like, well, don't hit the dog. Wait, those aren't dogs. And like they had pointed ears. They were big and they had that like cat like smooth tail. And it was just like it was crazy because these two black cats, like huge black cats, ran across the street right in front of us. And like, I've heard of black cats in like Texas, North Carolina, Ohio, those different areas. But I hadn't heard about like these black panthers in South Carolina until I saw those. And like, I was talking to one of my coworkers, and his dad saw one and actually got video of it.
Of a, like a, because like in my head, I was like, what time of day was this? Was this night? Because I was like, any chance it was like cougars?
Thing is, from my research, like the only native big cat in South Carolina is a bobcat.
Yeah.
And those are small. And the ones I saw were big. Like they're probably about 3 foot from the ground to the shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big cat.
So
yeah, it's big. That's, yeah, a big
and
cat.
And I've done research. Like there used to be eastern pumas, but they went extinct. And even with there hasn't been a recorded case of a melanistic cougar.
Yeah.
So like it was amazing. It was just like, oh my God, we just saw a cryptid. Not just one. We just saw two cryptids run across the road.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think if there's like, what kind of, is there any kind of like black cat cryptid, like black puma cryptid? Cause I know there's a couple in like the UK and stuff. But like nothing that I can think of that might be in the air. I'm just trying to do a quick, you know what, people actually, yeah, it's kind of interesting because like, if you look up cryptid sightings in the, like, this is weird. In the cryptid wiki, or you know, just type in like black puma cryptids, there is like different cities that have like these weird like pumas, and they're like, it's a weird thing because they shouldn't exist in the area. And just for example, when I pulled up my area just when I was typing it in, it pops in as Surrey Puma, which is like a really big, you know, city in the, you know, just outside Vancouver, a huge community where you would never believe that there would be a giant black puma. And there is blurry photos of these things when people saying that, like, you know, is this some sort of black puma or some weird alien big cat? But there's, you know, there's testimony. It's interesting. I've never even thought about this. And now as I'm scrolling down, there's like different cities having these like black puma sightings.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like here, some people don't even realize that that's not supposed to be here, or like, well, they might are like native to here, but that's not proved by science that they're here.
My question is just, and you might not have the answer, and that's fine, but with South Carolina, because I know a lot of places in the States you can have exotic pets as animals. Is your state one of those, like, you know, could people have pumas that have escaped? You don't got Puma King out there, you know,
that's one of the theories, is like these black cats were people's exotic pets, but I'm not certain on South Carolina's exotic pet laws.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell you for definitive.
And I just feel like, God damn, if there was a giant puma, like, walking around, like, more people would see it way more often. That's a fascinating one to me. I'm actually astounded by the amount of cities that are like pumas, like black cat, giant black cats. I didn't realize that this was as popular as it is.
Yeah,
that's so weird. Like, now, what are your thoughts? You just crazy. Think it's, what do you think it is?
I don't know. It's honestly my best guess is it is someone who is like, oh, I want this giant black cat as my pet. And then it got out, or they just were like, oh, I can't take care of this, so I'll just release it into the wild.
Yeah.
But my personal headcanon is they've always been here. It's just big cats, like, they're big, yes, but they're also very stealthy. And if they don't want you to see them, you aren't going to see them.
And I'll tell you this, like, from firsthand experience, I live in Vancouver Island, and there is more. This is the most, like, most cougars per capita live on Vancouver Island. And I have never seen one ever. And like they say, if you see one, that's because it's basically wanted you to see it, or it's just like not cared. Yeah. Whereas, like, most of the time, the amount of times if you've gone for a walk in the woods, you've probably, a cougar's had eyes on you at some point, or has maybe paced you, and it's just not interested in, you know. Yeah, people in the chat are saying this is some sort of big cat conspiracy. I agree. We need to get to the bottom of this. What the hell is conservation doing about this? We gotta suss out these big cats in populated areas.
Yeah, and like, so many people have like witnessed these that South Carolina DNR put out a statement that said, oh, nope, you're misidentifying them. Like, they're saying like they're melanistic coyotes or just loose dogs. But
I mean,
a lot of the people I know who have seen, they're hunters. They know coyotes. They know dogs.
And I mean,
it's like,
big cats, you know, they have a look, you know what I mean? Like, they have a unique look, even if you're in dusk or in it, you can only see like an outline of them. They do not look like a dog.
Yeah.
So it's someone in the chat is saying,
you asked, like, what?
Quick Google search says South Carolina has no ban on exotic pets. So you could technically own some pumas, but we would have to wrangle those to see if they have any collars, you know? And I feel like if someone lost their pumas, there'd be like, you know, a little bit more high alert of like, be on the lookout for these fucking giant cats that will murder you for fun.
Yeah. Also, you asked me like what time of day I saw. It was actually the morning. I jotted it down after it was like 9:32 a.m.
Oh, so there's light.
It's Yeah.
So there's
because
like
there wasn't a chance of just like
mistaken.
Wait, what was that? Like we had full visibility.
Yeah, you saw black cats. No questions about it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. That's wild, man. Like quick little search. It's like I'm like the amount of cities that are like, oh, you know, this city, Black Panther, this city, Black Puma, this city, Big Cat. I'm like, that is wild. And, you know, like you said, they are quite elusive if they don't want to be seen. So, you know, maybe there is a small outlying population of these big cats that we just have no idea are lurking.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, when I saw, I was like, man, I'm like, I wanted my first cryptid to be like Bigfoot or something, but just this was just like, wow. Like,
at least you're seeing one. At least you saw one.
Yeah.
I haven't even got to see one yet. I've only seen a footprint. So, gotta count your lucky stars. Lane, thank you so much for calling in and being the first caller. I say it all the time, the first caller is the most important caller because I actually truly never know if any of this is working until the first person calls. So, I really appreciate you calling in and telling your story. And I hope if, you know, I saw some people in the chat say that they've had some weird big cat sightings. So, if you've seen something, you've seen something out there, I want you to call in. But Lane, have a good one. Take care of yourself.
Will do. Thank you.
It's wild to me how many large communities out there have urban legends of these giant cats or you know, people who have caught on camera these giant black cats roaming around the community. You can do a quick Google search and see you know, these images of these black cats, these blurry photos, but it does appear to be giant black cats. It's fascinating. All over North America, even in the UK, you see these things. Now, if you've seen some sort of cryptid or a black cat, it's really important to call in. I want your story. Cosmic Channels dies without people's story. So I need you to call in and tell it to me. So if you got a family member, a friend, or you've heard a story from a friend of a friend, and you want to call in, Thursday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can call 1-833-703-0424, toll free. That's 1-833-703-0424. That's completely toll free. You know, people in Australia don't need to worry about these astronomical bills because Cosmic Channels takes care of that. And how do we take care of it? With the support of fans. Because everything we raise for Cosmic Channels, we put right back into it. So thanks to your help, the fan and fan support, we have upgraded the lines. We've paid for hosting for the year. We've paid for ads. And everything we raise, we put right back into the show. So if you're looking to help Cosmic Channels, it's really easy. Cosmic Channels is supported. It's really easy. You can go to paypal.me/cosmicchannels and give a little donation. Help support the show. Or you can go to crowdmade.com/collections/cosmicchannels, buy yourself a t-shirt, and then you can wear it around, tell all your friends about it. Those are the best ways to help the show. You know what? And if you want to get in a little, you're like, does Cosmic Channels have a Discord? We kind of do. It's attached to Alien Theorists Theorizing Discord. We have a little corner of that awesome Discord community carved out for Cosmic Channels. So if you want to join that Discord, go to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast, jump on the Discord, and come and help shape the future of Cosmic Channels. But just like that, I got another call on the line, and calls always take priority. So let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Chris McCormick, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey, what's going on? The heir to the McCormick candy banana fortune.
Yeah, damn know it. I wish I was.
Now, I do believe you actually wrote in a story a long time ago. Can I, is that the story you're calling in to tell me about?
Probably.
Okay, cool. And the only, I'm, I,
about on the stairs and whatnot and the shower.
I think so because I actually think this is kind of a funny coincidence. I actually think I have your fan read submission prepped, ready to go for tonight. I actually think, but I got you on. I want to hear it from you. So like this is,
let's do it.
This was meant to be. So what do you got for us tonight? Where are you calling from?
Charlotte, North Carolina, but this story happened in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, you still with me?
Yeah.
Sorry. So I don't even know where to start, but this shit still pops off in my head, like, all the time, because my girlfriend and I, at the time, we go and play volleyball on Thursdays from like 5 p.m. to the lights turned out, which would be like 9:15, and we get home like 9:30, 9:45, and you wash all the sand out of your cracks, you know, at that point. And so we got in the shower immediately, and then this is her parents' house in Charleston. They lived in Pennsylvania at the time, so it's a three-story home. It's like a Charleston home, so it's like long and thin and tall.
Yeah.
Right? So we're in the shower, you know, just, you know, cleaning off, whatnot. And the walls are very thin. Like the first four bathrooms, to put in perspective, like I'm only 6 feet tall, but I take a pee in that toilet, half bath, right?
Yeah.
My head would be touching the ceiling.
Yes.
You know, tiny people.
Yeah, small bathroom.
And then on the front of the house, they have a plaque on it. It's 1867 when the house was built. You know, so nothing, you can do anything to the house without, like, the city's permission.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's similar, like, to, like, where I live, but, like, those are called, like, heritage houses. Right, and they're kind of preserved, so it's like you can't really do anything.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, it's very strict. They go through a bunch of channels to get any shit done with these houses. But and I remember when she bring that up, like, so like they're getting the floor done in the kitchen, you know, and it's probably not the first time. It was not the first time the floor was done. You know, over 150 years, obviously. But, I mean, the contractor was pulling it up when we were there, and he's like, those boards underneath here are probably here since George Washington was president, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's wild. Man, I'm a big history buff, but just puts it in perspective, you know? Like, you got the Civil War going on, slavery, whatnot, so it's wild.
Yeah.
You know? So we're in the shower, you know, cleaning ourselves off, and literally hear like someone with big boots on, like, truck down from the third floor to basically the first floor. I mean, like, you lose the sound,
yeah,
you know, after a while. But the shower backed up right to the stairs, so like there's not more than a foot of shitty fucking shit done, you know, because it's a 150-year-old house, you know, between your head and the stairs, you know? And so you heard someone running down the stairs to the point where, you know, I looked over at my girlfriend and she's like, you hear that? I'm like, fuck yeah, I heard that. You know, and I jump out of the shower, I grab a towel, I'm like, hopefully I don't have to fight some dude naked in the hallway. You know, it's like, I don't know what's going to go down at that point. And
definitely spooked
and
at this point.
I run down the stairs and look back up the stairs. I go in every single nook in the house. I don't find anything. All the doors are still locked or whatnot. And, you know, it was wild, like, because I wasn't by myself, you know, like, we were completely sober.
Yeah.
We both heard the same thing. We looked at each other with fear, like, what the fuck was that? And, yeah. And this house, like you know, when like cats go outside and like you can hear them fighting in the streets or like outside.
Yeah, it's savage. You know?
Yeah. So on the third floor, every once in a while, the cat. And we had dogs too. We they're both betas, a golden retriever and an Irish wolfhound, which would like. You know, fight over not eating the food, you know?
Yeah, just all the time.
But the cat, every once in a while, would be on third floor and just, you'd hear that gnarling cat noise, like he was fighting somebody and just rush down from the third floor to the first floor as fast as it could possibly get down. And like, that's basically my story. That's the whole story.
So, first off, I mean, it's creepy enough that that's a, like, any kind of heritage house that's, like, that old and stuff, like, you're kind of not sure what's going on. You're having ghost footprints and stuff, like, you know, it's pretty common for, like, a ghostly experience. Terrifying all the time. But we actually... The person who was going to read your story had some questions for you that they're kind of excited now to ask. Yeah. So one of the questions was, do you know who still lives in that house? Like, does the girlfriend's parents still live there?
Yeah, her parents still own the house. Yeah.
Do you know if they have they experienced anything? Like, do they ever hear anything?
Well, he's a doctor, and she grew up in Germany during, like, the Nazi war. So she didn't talk about all that shit.
Okay. And it's funny because when you say doctor,
I didn't ever bring it up to him because they were in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And she was in college. She came on strong. I thought she was like 28. She was 21. I was 36. And we ended up dating for the next 5 years. So I don't talk to him a lot about our relationship, you know?
Yeah. I get you.
That makes any sense?
Now... some follow-up questions. Did your girlfriend at the time hear any sounds growing up? Did she ever tell you anything of that?
No. She didn't grow up in the house. Like, oh, okay. She grew up in Pennsylvania, and her parents bought this house in Charleston to be near her. Be near his brother.
Okay, so she never grew up there. Did you ever hear any kind of story of, like, any history that had happened in the house, or, like, what kind of the history was with the house, or just that it's a heritage house kind of thing?
No, there's no spookiness that we ever heard about or I was never told about. But, I mean, like, you know, it's one of the cities that has, like, ghost tours.
Yeah.
You know, right? But, it's not like they come by the house and say, and they talk about this house. It's not a house to talk about, you know?
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's just so just that one-off experience that stuck with you.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's my experience. Well, I mean, that's not the only thing. I mean, shit would turn on the house and turn off, and then, like, the door handles would rattle every once in a while, but I just... I just figured those people trying to break into the house because people try to steal the bikes off the porch all the time. It's kind of you're gonna chain down your bikes or your or lock your dogs in the backyard. You're gonna lose your dog, which is fucked up. As you know,
yeah,
you can say.
So it's kind of a rough area
or
too.
You're gonna lose a bicycle. You know.
What do you think it was? The footprints you heard that day. What are your thoughts on it?
I wouldn't call it footprints, bro. It's foot stomps. Coming out like somebody's wearing heavy boots.
Yeah.
Like, I used to wear heavy boots when I worked in EMS, like your boy Andrew, and those are heavy boots, and these are heavier than that. And you heard them from the third floor. Like, not so light, and then heavy, 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 and then, like, going away, and it's like, who the fuck is in the house? Nobody's in the house. Nobody can be in the house. What is happening? You know?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm calling you guys because I don't have an answer to it. Well, I don't know.
I've experienced ghost steps and the phantom steps and stuff. So that would be my guess, especially with the history, how old that house is that I would kind of, and even people in the chat are saying old Civil War boots, right? You're saying it's around that it built
exactly.
before that. So maybe that,
exactly.
maybe that house has some history and what we're seeing here is just ghosts going about their day from that time in that house, right? And they're just kind of stuck
still
in a loop.
Full of bullets in the backyard,
yeah,
from the Civil War.
So right, yeah. So maybe people died there, maybe soldiers died there, spent time in that house, and so that would kind of make sense. That would it's around that time, and you're saying these are heavy boots, so maybe it's a soldier's footprint.
The one thing or footsteps upstairs, the third floor had two bedrooms, right?
Yeah,
those bedrooms you could tell were not always there. There was something else,
they were put in after the fact,
An attic, a crazy attic where they kept people. I don't know.
Maybe it was some sort of house on where they hid people moving up to the secret railroad or something like that. Maybe they're it'd be interesting to kind of find out the history of that house. Now I'm not gonna ask you the address or anything there because. We'll respect the privacy of the current homeowners, but interesting stuff, man. Thank you,
dude.
Chris, thanks so much for calling in with that.
Yeah, brother.
All right, take
my pleasure.
Take
listen
care.
To you guys since 2016.
Oh, right on. That's early days, baby.
What the fuck is the pyramids? It's my first episode, which I don't think you bring back up.
No, well, we've never figured out what the fuck they are. So, before you go here, I got a little question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's in the box? What's in the box? Gwyneth Paltrow's head. no, unfortunately, that is not what is in the box. But now, to be honest, I will divulge this. I did seriously consider getting you can buy Gwyneth Paltrow mask heads, and I did consider putting that in the box. So it's close.
That'd
I mean,
awesome.
You're close because that thought did come through my head. So maybe you're up there. You're just the wrong corner. But thank you so much, Chris, for calling in.
All right, thanks, brother.
Take care of yourself. Awesome little Civil War phantom steps. It is as someone I've experienced them. It is terrifying. It's terrifying when that kind of stuff happens, and there's no explanation for it, and you're just kind of left wondering, what is that? And I had those experiences in basically a brand new house, so I always kind of wondered if it was the land that the house was built on was maybe it was unceded indigenous land that was maybe taken or something, but I never felt the any kind of danger. It was just more creepy. But we got a caller on the line. Let's go right to the call. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Tara, and from Virginia.
Tara?
Yeah.
How's it going tonight, Tara?
What's up? I've been listening for years to you guys.
Right on.
I could definitely get to call in.
What do you got for us tonight?
All right. So I'm going to let you pick. So I've got a cliff ghost story or I guess UFO story. So one of those two, unless you want a dream story.
Let's go UFO.
UFO. Okay. So I was in high school and I was hanging out with one of my best friends. I just got out of cross country practice. He picked me up. And we're just riding around, and I live literally in the middle of nowhere. So that's what we do. And I mean, it wasn't too out of the ordinary for us to see weird stuff in my town, but this definitely topped it. So we ended up going down to this creek side, and we just parked, and we're just sitting there talking. I think we're in some kind of deep conversation. And I was like, dude, do you see that? He was like, that light? And I was like, yeah, I've been staring at it for a minute, and it was pretty far. And as we're sitting there talking about it, it moved. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's a plane. Not a plane, because it moves up and down. And then it sits there for a minute, and then it splits into two more lights. And it's just kind of dangling there in like a triangle shape for a minute, like the way that the lights kind of line up looks like a triangle. And so we're just like, what the fuck? You know, we look at each other, I'm like, is this real? Like, let's get a phone out and like take a picture, which we had flip phones at the time. But, you know, we're kind of like puzzled like as to what we're seeing, and I'm like, there's no fucking way. So they all start like moving. It's like the more we talk about it, it's like the more it moves around. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, yeah, like let's try to get this, and by the time we get a phone out, it's gone.
Did they just fade away, or did you see them move, or they just, the lights just go out?
They were just gone by the time that like we're shuffling around trying to get a phone to take a picture. Like, it was just gone. I can't even explain it.
What color? Do you remember what color the lights were?
Yeah, so they changed. So they started out kind of like, not yellow, but like, I guess like an LED kind of looking light. And then they went from that to blue. And then they just stayed out of blue.
And did the lights, so you said there was kind of one at first.
Yeah.
Did it change color first and then spread out into a triangle shape?
Honestly, I don't remember that part of it.
Okay.
Exactly.
Just because I'm...
Yeah.
I mean, I have seen some weird lights, like out of like Mesa, Arizona, and a couple like Phoenix. And there's a couple like out in the desert where it's like an orange light a lot of the times. Where they'll kind of, you'll see an orange light appear in the sky, and then it'll trail and then split and then kind of make a triangle formation. But then the lights will seemingly drift apart, and then they'll just kind of go out separately. Really weird,
yeah.
Really weird kind of look. But does that kind of ring kind of sound familiar to, similar to what you saw?
A little bit, yeah. Only it wasn't a yellow light. It was definitely more like a cool tone, like, white light, I guess, at first.
Yeah,
that's why I like, kind of was sitting there thinking like, damn, that's a like really bright star. And then I don't know, just something seemed off about it, and then we started talking about it and weird shit started happening with it. And this is completely sober and all that, like I was a little prude in school, so like definitely wasn't drinking and all that. We were just sitting there having a conversation and just a weird phenomenon, I guess.
That's so strange. Do you know what year or what? Like, you said flip phone, so early 2000s?
It would have been, like, probably 2011.
Okay. And you said, like, when you kind of were, like, consciously, like, conscious of it, that's kind of when these lights kind of moved?
Yeah. We've talked about that, too. Like, me and my buddy, I'm like, it's just weird. It's like it had an intelligence to it. Where it knew that, like, we saw it. Like, I don't know how else to explain that, but it's like it knew, like, it's like we acknowledged each other in a weird way, and that's why, like, it kept doing weird shit.
Well, I mean,
and this went on for a while. Like, this was, like, I mean, a solid probably 3 minutes.
And that's not uncommon. Like, a lot of people who see these things will be like, they're like, you know, it sounds crazy, but, like, I feel like it was reacting to my... like viewing of it.
Yeah,
it's not an uncommon thing at all to experience when seeing a UFO.
Yeah.
Now, so what do you think you saw that night? What is your like, you know, with your friend, what did you talk about? What did you think it was?
I mean, up until that point, I kind of was skeptic of like UFOs, aliens, all that, even though the movie Signs terrified the shit out of me as a kid.
I did everyone. Horrifying.
Yeah. But it definitely made me a believer. And then now, of course, you know, years later and then saying that, you know, UFOs are real, I'm like, well, I think that's what I saw, you know.
Yeah, it kind of vindicates that sighting for you. And you're like, you know, maybe it's not that wild of me to think that that's what I saw.
Yeah, I think it validated a few things for me. So, yeah.
Now, if this is totally up to you, you can tell it now or you can save it for another week. But do you want to tell your ghost story as well?
Yeah, I will.
All right, let's
do it. So, about the same year, me and a girlfriend, she got a Ouija board. And I grew up like in a very Christian home. I'm still a Christian, so like I can still say that and believe all this stuff too. I'll just throw that out there. But I grew up in a Christian home, and my family would have been like so upset to know I got in with a girl who had a Ouija board. But she decided to acquire this thing because where I live, there's like this massive cliff, and people would go up there and like smoke weed and like climb half of it. And this is really dumb, but there was a railroad track below it, and people would try to take baseball bats and like throw it on the track, like real stupid.
Oh yeah, you're like, I'm gonna derail this thing. I was a kid once.
Yeah, it's just like whatever. Yeah. But great view up there. Like my mom actually lives on the whole opposite end of it, so like it's in walking distance from her house. But anyway, so there was this like, I don't even know, like story that got passed around for a long time around people, and that there was a penny man up there. That's what they called him. They said that if you go up there alone or like in a small group, if you're just hanging out, like all of a sudden you'll feel something burning on you and you'll look down and there's a penny that's like burning your skin. I'm like, there's no fucking way. That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard. So of course we have to find out if it's true.
Yeah.
So we get a Ouija board as one does. We get a Ouija board and candle, and like she's like, you know, researched all this stuff, and I'm just like, it's like, yeah, let's go. So it's about half a mile walk down to this cliff from like where I had to park, and it's basically in a really nice neighborhood at the golf course. And what is that called, like a little circle, like a little, is that like a cul-de-sac or whatever? That's yeah. Kind of what it was. And so we parked my car there, walked down with this Ouija board. And we're sitting on the cliff, and we start asking it questions and doing all of this shit. And it starts moving. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, I know I'm not moving it, because I'm, like, not really even, like, fully on the little thing. And she was like, dude, I'm not moving it. And I was like, do you think if we took our hands off and, like, talked to it and move on? And she's like, you're not supposed to do that or whatever, and I didn't know the rules. And I was like, what if you just do it, like, I want to see, like, if it still moves and vice versa. So, like, by the time she goes to take her hands off, I'm taking mine off, it starts moving on its own. And it, like, just darts all the way across off the board. And about that time, we hear growls. And I'm like, it's, like, I mean, it was in the summer, I feel like. And, I mean, the sun was still up, all that. Like, shouldn't be any wild animals out there. So we heard all these growls, and I start freaking shit. So I'm like, let's go. By the time we packed everything up and started like walking, I mean, it sounded like something was on our heels and growling at us, like coming to attack us, like a pack of wolves. And I'm not even joking. So we start sprinting to my car, and like we were sweating. We get in the car, slam the door, and like we're booking it. And I'm like, holy shit, that was like a lot. So then this story really carries over, because that night after we did all this, we're like, dude, should we tell anyone like that this just happened to us? And we go to this little, not a party, but like a little shindig, and we're sitting by a fire, and I'm like telling everybody what happened. And about that time, I like pass out, and I just like cracked open a beer. Like I was not drunk yet. Like, I wasn't really like, I mean, I just said a minute, I'm kind of prude. So at that time I was like kind of there socially. So yeah. Like I might drink a beer, you know what I mean? So yeah. Like wasn't a drunk person. So I'm sitting there kind of sipping and telling the story, and I like black out. And the next thing I know, I wake up in the road with my friends praying over top of me, and no idea, but don't play with the Ouija board is all I know. It's weird.
So later that night you just blacked out for no reason?
Yeah, they just said I was, like, talking about it and, like, passed out.
You blacked out while recanting the story of being in the woods playing with the Ouija?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Now, because I'm like, first off, it's so weird, because I'm like, you know, to sound like you have a pack of wolves growling, I'm like, I mean, that's not really what wolves do. So it's so weird to have that kind of like constant growl after you.
Yeah, it was like very aggressive. Like, I don't even know. I just know that it was very aggressive in ways. And it was like, it started out as just like one growl, and then it ended up being like a bunch of growls.
Oh, that is, oh, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Now, is there any ways, like, oh, you know, now I want to ask some follow-up questions here. So you black out later, and I mean, is there a possibility, and this is just this, you know, I always try to look at things from a skeptical side and look at it from both sides. Is there any chance that just even from recounting the first experience, how harrowing and terrifying it is, that you could you have blacked out from, like, were you that worked up? Do you remember, like, recounting the story and kind of being anxious, or is it really just lights out?
It really was just, like, lights out. Like, I was just, like, talking about it, and, yeah, like, I felt like I was calm. I was actually kind of, like, laughing about, like, what happened. Like, I think I was in shock, but, like, I guess I was just kind of, like, laughing about it. Like, that's some wild shit that happened to us.
Did you close? Did you
recounting it? So.
Did you bring the weed? Like, did you pack up the Ouija or did you leave it behind?
She packed it up, so it was hers. Like, she took it home with her.
Now, did you close the session at the end?
Nope.
So, maybe, because I mean, the people that really like that really practice it, and, like, you're like, you know, swear by and stuff. They say, like.
Yeah.
Like, we've had people detail, like, the proper steps you're supposed to take, and the emphasis on, like, make sure to close the session is always, you know, very, you know, made very important. We've been told all the, you know, different types of candles you should have and all this other stuff just in case of stuff you should, you know, have if you're really trying to do this thing as precautions. Did you have any other experiences after that of, like, you know, maybe something followed you?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So, like, after all of that, I did feel like something dark followed me. And honestly, like, from that point, like I said, I was probably, like, junior or senior in high school at the time. For a couple of years, honestly, like, it felt like something was with me. And so just had to kind of get rid of that, which is a whole nother ordeal. But, yeah, so don't play with Ouija boards.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you know what you're doing, but I don't think anyone really what they're doing with one of
them. Oh my god. So hold on. So you from this experience, you black out and you have basically a dark point in your life where you feel that there's a dark presence. And are you telling me that you have another story about having to do something to get rid of this?
Yeah. Dude, I have a lot of stories.
Oh my god. Okay. Tara, I this story gave me such chills. That I would love for you to call me back on another one, and we'll do a part two for, you know, so I can spread out these excellent stories, because I want to know now how you got rid of this thing and how that built up to it.
I'll say one thing, prayer. Like, honestly, ultimately at the end of it all, like, literally, like, finding Jesus and praying about it. That's the only thing. And, like, for a year, like, couple years now, I haven't had any issues, so...
Do you think if you stopped, do you think that, like, are you still doing, like, preventative prayers from this experience?
I don't feel any darkness around me.
I just was like, in my heart of hearts, I was like, oh my God, are you, like, keeping it at bay right now? Like, you're like, okay. So, like,
that would be so terrifying.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm like, You're gonna have to call back in, because I want a part two of how you got rid of this thing, and we can spend some time going through exactly what you did and how it led up to.
Yeah, that is a wild story. But I will call back at some point and
perfect.
Do that.
Thank you so much for calling in with that, Tara. That is incredible, and I can't wait for you to call back in. So call back next week.
All right, I will.
All right, take care of yourself.
All right, bye.
What an awesome call to finish the night. Absolutely phenomenal. I cannot wait for Tara to call back and tell us more about this terrifying encounter. But that's all the time we have tonight for Cosmic Channels. So if you want your call or you want your story on Cosmic Channels, there's two ways to do it. If you're too nervous to call, send your story to us at cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. And you never know who will read your story live on the show. And if you want to call in every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can call 1-833-703-0424. That's 1-833-703-0424. But that's all we got. That's all the time we got for this week on Cosmic Channels. So just like that, the cosmic lines are now closed. See you next week.